B-Pod Studios.
.95 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Would you go to a Wal Mitzvah? Would you go? Sales has already reached out to me. A member of sales has already reached out to me. I'm not sure I want to do it through the station.
I don't know. We can discuss that later.
I want to get paid this time. I don't.
We got the shaft last time.
Yeah, I don't. I want to get paid. Maddie did it himself. He didn't throw it to the station. I think it's okay. I want to make my own money. Thank you.
All right. So, I mean, there's so many different ideas coming. Well, first of all, you know, if you are going to go all in on, you know, finally John Wallach becoming a man, we have to give him something that's extra special, especially if there's going to be a lot of listeners there. There's got to be one of those New Jack, like, early 90s R&B dudes that for, like, $5.
Well, what you're doing is what you've already done what they've done to Christmas, and you've taken away all the religion out of it. I mean, if it's going to be a bar mitzvah, we have to focus on the religion. That's where Abe comes in. All right. Okay, I get it. Abraham, go ahead. Yes, the blood of Abraham. Yes, indeed. Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yes, my brother, who lives in Connecticut, one of my brothers, is a urologist, a great urologist. But he went out to UCLA a couple years ago, out in L.A., to get certified as a moyle, and he does brisses. And so he has, you know, the double expertise of working with men all the time as a urologist, and also the expertise and certification.
No, to moyle. Hollywood. I want a good old school old moyle from Brookline. I don't want some urologist. I want a guy who's just who's only studying the human body. He's getting that foreskin off ASAP. That's what I want from them. I want to, you have to, we're going to dip gauze in Menashevitz, and you're going to have it that way.
Oh, man.
And then you're going to, just like my son.
And all the men will back up.
Just like my son.
Will move forward.
The beautiful ceremony in my house when my son was first born.
Yeah.
That you could have that as well.
So what's the competition? The best looking moyle? Is that what it is?
Maybe the moyle with the coolest knife.
Okay.
And like like a sweet switchblade or like a butterfly knife.
Because they all carry those.
Yeah. Like it's just like Fonzie Moyle.
So it said Ted Johnson and Joe Murray should be the ones holding Waldick up in the chair. You know?
I've been stuck on the wrong end of that a couple of times. That's no fun.
Yeah. Being on the chair is no fun, I'll tell you that.
No.
That's got to be terrifying. And it always goes on way too long. Like you're like, all right.
It does.
This was kind of interesting. Like, when it first happens, like, hey, all right, that's a moment. And then it's like, all right, man, we knew this for 3 minutes.
Yeah, if you're in the back, you get tired, especially if the guy's heavy, and sometimes you get popped in the head when the chair comes down.
Well, it sucks being on it because you're all balanced, and everyone's always drunk when they're... Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know. I mean, we will bring out your like a bubby to give you... My kepi. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Would you go to a John Wallach Wal Mitzvah? Now, you would have to bring a present. I mean, we would nosh. I mean, we would have blintzes. There's no question about
it. Bagels, blintzes.
We would have applesauce.
Lox.
Someone said satin jackets and skinny ties required at the Wal Mitzvah.
I'd have to grow the goatee back for that, apparently. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
and like you'd have to get me, you know, you'd have to get us because you know we're part of the crew. Don't they like at the bar mitzvahs I went to? The guy really loved baseball, so he had you know his favorite team was on the yarmulkes, and they would give those out.
Oh yeah, that's right, I've seen that. Right. Sure.
So you have to have a theme. Is there going to be a special theme that you're going to have, or it could just be just the Wallach head on the top of it?
It could be, but we got to think of a theme. It could be baseball. It could be you know New Jack Swing. It could be a lot of things.
And also, again, if you're this is going to be if it's a true bar mitzvah, John's going to have to study. So if you're a rabbi and can have a program in place, so we know when to book the show.
Oh, God.
Because John is going to have to study. I mean, if we're going to do this, you're going
to
do it right.
I'm willing to study. Having never read Hebrew in my entire life, it has to study something else.
John, I'll give you this, is that you read from the Torah, but you can read it phonetically. You don't have to read in Hebrew.
I see.
But I do want you reading right to left.
Okay.
Okay?
I mean, do you think that possibly the...
Don't be a schmedrick.
I'll try not to be.
What's the back in the saddle band up to? Can they be our house band?
Oh, you know they're not with it. The odds, you know, there's like two guys left because there were nine guys in the band. There's two guys left.
We can't sit still.
It's like the
we
random can't sit horn down. Player.
Yeah. We don't like to fight and we don't like to scuffle. Dancing all I'll night, tell you doing what. The curly shuffle. Hey Mo, hey Mo, hey Mo.
Well, I got to tell you, this sounds like an exciting time, but I do want John to take it seriously. So I want him. I need a rabbi, a moil. Because I do want to do Hot as Moil.
Okay.
That is something that I think that would be very good. I mean, obviously, you're circumcised. I've seen it several times. But so there couldn't be an onstage circumcision, but
no.
I would want to do the Hot as Moil.
That's fair.
And then, obviously, we need a rabbi for you to study with.
What am I studying?
Well, if we're going to do a bar mitzvah, it's not just going to be the party. I mean,
why wouldn't it be the party?
People are going to want to hear you read from the Torah.
I don't think so. I've never read Hebrew in my life, Fred.
Well, that's why you need
why
to study.
I'm not.
Mitzvah,
I'm not going. I'm not doing that. I'm not studying.
You're in suspended animation.
Not,
that's why you need a retainer. You're still
not,
a kid.
I'm not studying for this thing. Forget it. Not going
to
happen.
All right. Well, you need to.
It's not happening.
I'll tell you.
Oh, my gosh. So
don't disappoint your mother.
It's okay. She's been disappointed before. She'll be disappointed again. Mm. Not happening.
All right. See, I'm already thinking of, like, you know, who you can hire for the music. And there is a local guy that we might be able to get on the cheap.
Diarrhea. You and he. You know what, Fred? Here's your chance to finally meet this guy. He wants to go out to lunch with you or something.
Yeah, let's torture the audience for as long as possible.
We can have him write a special John Wallach bar mitzvah song.
It'll take
like it's not already done.
10 seconds. He just listened to the last break and it's done.
Yeah, we need that. We need him. You know, one of those random R&B bands like, oh, I don't know, Shy or H-Town.
Get Bell Biv DeVoe. Come on, do it right.
They're local.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think we should get a classy band. This is not going to be some DJ cheap affair. This is
sure.
Get a classy band.
I've seen it done both ways.
Can you have an honorary? Because I know, like, when people get married, there's you know, you can have somebody who becomes a chaplain or something out of nowhere, and you just takes a class. Can you do that, or does it have to be when you have a bar mitzvah? Does it actually have to be somebody who has been in the church for a long time?
Well,
we were not married by a temple.
We were not married by a rabbi, but we were married by one of the leaders of the Jewish community in Grand Bahama Island.
Oh, okay. Like, could Mark Jamelli take some classes in which he could be?
I'm not dabbling in that. No.
Somebody said it's not a bar mitzvah if you don't read from the Torah. You can't have a party and not the reading.
Well,
it's true.
Then name it something else. It's not going to happen.
The wall mitzvah is happening. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, I can get you up to speed. I taught my kids. I taught a lot of people. I can get you to read the Torah even if you've never read Hebrew before.
Are you affiliated with a synagogue?
I am not. I'm just a member of the community, and I know this stuff, and I've taught people for years and years.
Well, I wanted through a good. I wanted through a good synagogue. I don't want to just have some layabout teaching him. I want someone who is affiliated with a nice synagogue. I want my boy to have a special day. What do you think? I need the Weisensteins casting judgment on me because you didn't go? What do I need that for?
I know. It would be difficult. I understand.
I can't think of a better way to welcome back normalcy than to have John Wallach's bar mitzvah after all these years of being deprived of it.
He can finally be a man.
He's finally a man.
Pete, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm just kind of confused about all this. Through all of what you guys are talking about, for Wallach to finally give some pushback and say, no, it's not going to happen, it's the word studying. He's got to study, and finally he says, no. You're talking about giving the guy a circumcision. He's a grown man, and you're talking about giving him a circumcision. And he's like, oh, no. But then you say studying, and that's what gets him to say, well.
Actually, he knows that the circumcision is a joke, you see. That's part of the whole thing.
Well, I didn't think of it that way. I thought that we would really circumcise you in front of an audience.
I see.
Double circumcision, just to be sure.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, keep it as an idea. I would keep it off the air for a little while because I would prefer just to do it ourselves. I would like to get paid.
I've been doing this a long time. I've been a sportscaster for 20 years. Tonight I stand before you.
Hey, everybody, shut up and listen to Wallach.
We could just have an eagle sitting on a stick the whole time.
We bring in like a falconer.
Yeah, oh, a guy with a glove standing next to it?
Yeah,
oh, sure.
We could get a falconer.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hey, if they could get one to land at football stadiums, I'm sure they could get one in there.
All right. Well, very good. You're not studying. All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game.
Touchdown, Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm all in, put it up on the board. Another rapper shot down from the mouth that roars. 1, 2, 3, down for the count. The raise out to my lyrics, so yes, no doubt. Go rock back, 49 Supreme is what I choose, and I use and never lose to a team. I can go solo like a Tyson Polo. Make a fly girl wanna have my photo. Run in the room, hanging on the wall, and remembrance that I rock them all. Suckers, talk so hump.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And one person suggested the John Wallach 90210 bar mitzvah. I am watching with my daughter the first season of 90210. It's not nearly as bad as I remembered it being. The first season, because remember they had to, Darren Star had to redo everything after the first season because it wasn't,
yeah.
It was a ratings disaster.
Yes.
But I mean, Brandon loses his virginity. Do you remember how? Oh, this is a good one, because this is very early in the show.
We talk about it. Oh, his old girlfriend comes back from Minneapolis, right?
Yeah. My God. Yes, indeed. And what's the deal with her? Do you remember?
Yeah, she was having trouble at home, and she was trying to get away from it. I mean, she was having trouble with her parents, if I remember correctly.
My goodness gracious. And what? And so her and Dylan go to a club, and what happens at the club?
She gets wasted, if I remember right.
She does get wasted, and what happens
Makes a move on Dylan, too, right?
But what happens between Brandon and Dylan?
Brandon gets a little jealous.
He smacks him right there in the face. He gives him a little, and then they go to the Chateau Marmont.
That's right. Has Brandon gotten in the blue room yet? Has he written the article in the paper about the blue room and getting to know him? That kind of thing?
No.
The blue room is a part of the wave that Dylan teaches Brandon about surfing.
No,
if you're in the blue room, you're like surfing down the face of the wave, and you really get to know about yourself.
The one that we just watched yesterday was the one that Mrs. Walsh is going to have an affair with the photographer from Minneapolis.
Okay.
They kind of just threw that in there.
Yeah, yeah. Because they needed a storyline to kind of include her.
Yeah.
She was on the show.
Yeah, yeah. They were like, oh, we got to do something with the parents.
So yes.
Here we go. All right. And then Kelly's mom on cocaine at the celebrity or the charity.
Fashion show.
Yeah. She goes to rehab.
Yes.
I mean, you are amazing, John. I really got to hand it to you.
Thank you.
But he can't learn Hebrew. That's right.
No, he's going to spend that time learning Hebrew.
Not studying Hebrew. Nope. But I can study my 90210.
Well, I'll tell you this. Bill Belichick was being questioned by Tom Curran today at his press conference about his failure at drafting players. And he pointed, he goes, you know, I'll take my record over the last 20 years. You know, from what I understand, it's pretty good.
Oh, do we have the clip?
I don't know if we have the clip because it just happened. But I'll tell you this, is that he is referring to his record over the last 20 years, which is interesting because
Here's the quote, just so we get it right.
Don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah, Tommy Curran basically was saying, it's his line of questioning about a lack of production out of draft picks the last 4 years. And Bill Belichick answered with, I'm not going to apologize for our record over the past 20 years. I've certainly seen a lot worse.
This is going to be what it's like, because he's about to turn 18 months away from 70. And
the problem isn't the last 20 years. That's what's mystifying. The problem is the last four.
Well, and that's what Curran asked him about.
But his answer is going to be to everything now, because obviously, you know, I know, everyone knows, this team's not going to be very good next year either. Then he'll be 70. And so this team probably won't be competing for a championship while he's still coaching. But you can't fire the guy. And, you know, he has every right to point to his record, but I have a feeling that this is going to be the narrative of Bill Belichick press conferences now, is that, you know, the press is going to have questions that they ask that are warranted, like, why do your drafts suck? And he can point to, well, I had all this success in the past. But you would have to think that this is, you know, the last championship that Bill Belichick's won is the last championship that Bill Belichick's going to win. And in fact, there was an MMQB or an SI, there was a question and answer thing. And one of the people said, do you think Belichick's done coaching? And the guy's like, well, I don't think he'll take another job. And you're like, oh, don't you? You really?
No.
You don't think
that
it's 70?
That guy was Bert Breer, by the way.
No, it wasn't Bert.
I thought it was Bert answering those questions.
I don't think it was Bert. And it was like, do you think he'll take another job? It's like, no. No, I don't think he's going to. What do you think? He's going to move into a new program and teach everyone the way
just what
the
he wants to do, set up the whole thing and organize things all over again at the age of 70 or 71. The thing that might change what you're saying, Fred, is if the Patriots get whatever it is, pick 14 or 15 in the draft, or maybe they climb as high as 10, and a quarterback drops to them that they love. Maybe that kid Lance drops, Patriots take him, and he turns out to be the next big thing. They have to get lucky in the middle of the first round.
Oh, yeah,
I
definitely.
That's my point.
To compete
if they
for
get that quarterback, if it falls into their lap and he hits, then things change, and then they're back
okay.
in contention.
So based on the supporting cast, you'd have to give the kid 3-4 years to fully mature, because we've seen what happens when guys don't have a supporting cast.
Maybe, and maybe this coming draft and the last draft, maybe, you know, maybe Onwenu is the guy, is an offensive lineman, he fits right in. Maybe it all comes together, and that would speed things up to, say, 2 years instead of 5 or 6. Maybe
so you
three.
Draft a quarterback, his rookie year is next year, and then you're assuming his sophomore season
is great.
And that you've developed enough talent.
Around
I mean, there's only
him.
So many draft picks.
I understand. This is best case scenario. You're saying the Patriots probably aren't going to win another Super Bowl with Bill Belichick as the head coach, factoring in his age. And I see your point, and that's certainly valid. All I'm saying is the other side of the spectrum is maybe, against all odds, because he hasn't done that well in the last 4 years, he hits, Duggar turns into a Pro Bowler at safety, N'Keal Harry somehow turns into a serviceable wide receiver, you know, this offensive lineman is good, you know, whatever the case may be, the best case scenario is 2 or 3 years.
You are throwing a lot of darts, and some of them have already missed the target, and well, I'll give you N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry is
I hope
way,
he plays again.
I hope so, too. Here's the clip, by the way, of Bill Belichick. And by the way, any guesses as to how long the pause between the question that is asked by Tom Curran, which is obviously one that Bill Belichick does not want to have to answer.
You've insulted him, so it's
longer. Oh, Mike took it out? Okay, Mike took it out.
And I
know the answer.
I will also tell you that Tom Curran, I could tell you how zero F's he gives anymore.
Tom Curran.
Zero F's he cares about anymore. I mean, do you think he's afraid of Bill Belichick?
No.
Didn't care.
No.
Days of getting crapped on because you asked a tough question to Bill Belichick are gone.
I'm going 6, by the way. That's the pause.
You know what?
That's really long.
It was actually 13.
No way.
Mike, can you get in the dry one? I want to hear all 13 seconds.
He has the dry one.
Oh, you have the dry one? Okay. Can you play that if you don't mind from there? Okay, great.
All right, they already cut it out. Don't worry about it. All right, let's just hear the clip.
Okay, here you go.
Bill, when you were just kind of referencing team building, it brings me to a question that I wanted to ask about player development. And we saw Dalton Keene this week go on IR, and then it was Devin Asiasi the prior week. And obviously those are injuries, but just really over the last 4 years, drafted players, do you have any idea why you've had a harder time getting consistent production and development from the guys that you've selected in the draft?
Yeah. Well, Tom, I'd say the most important thing to me is winning games. And I'm not going to apologize for our record over the last 20 years. I mean, I've seen a lot worse.
Okay, so that was edited, but it was a 13-second pause before he went from that into that. And by the way, Bill, obviously nobody asked you about the last 20 years. They asked you about the last 4 and the people you were drafting. I thought it was a very good question.
Yeah, my point on that question is, and it's an obvious one, is that this is just going to be what the narrative is. It's, you know, good questions. questions that Warren answers and Bill Belichick being able to step back and point at his record. And it's what that sounds to me like is a guy who's just about done coaching and saying, look at how much I've achieved. And I wonder if there's a certain point where you get sick of it. And, like, you don't want people questioning your legacy. And so, you know, Bill Belichick is the best coach of all time. But you understand what I'm saying? A day in, a day out questioning of your legacy and always having to point back to it. And as time moves on and that those years get further and further away, if you start saying, maybe I bag out now. And, like, you know, maybe, you know, I had a year or two where we weren't very good and I got out. And now I can go enjoy my life and not be questioned about what's currently happening. And if I wanted to stick around football, you know, get some position with a team.
Well, someone said like that Parcells. Guy who you were talking about, yeah, like a Bill Parcells thing, you know, who can overlook things and not be the coach.
But I don't know if Belichick would want that. I don't know him personally. I don't know his personality. I don't know if he would be comfortable, you know, setting everything up and then kind of sitting there like Coughlin did and watching it all unfold on the field without his input. I wonder if that would how that would sit with him.
You know what's crazy? And I never would have thought that until this last, what was it, 100 years of the NFL special they did. He was excellent on that. And you would have never thought he would have been someone who would sit there and be, you know, halfway entertaining, like analyzing plays. He's always so like guarded and gruff. But when he was on that show, he was really good. Like, the dude should go into broadcasting after this because anyone would hire him and he actually would be really good at the gig. I mean, he obviously knows everything. It's just how well he wants to, what he wants to say and what he wants to talk about. But when he was on that show, I was shocked at how entertaining Bill Belichick was talking about, like a normal human being about football, because usually they're talking about punters and things.
I see what you're saying, Rich, but, I mean, don't forget Belichick was talking about the best of the best. And you feed him, you know, pick a bad quarterback, and I think it's a little different. I think he gets frustrated. I think he would be more frustrated watching bad football.
That's
and
a good point.
He wouldn't be nearly as interested. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, guys like a 1950s running back, Marion Motley, or whatever the case may be, when he's talking about guys like that, he's like, oh, I remember this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, I remember my dad used to teach me about this. Yeah, he's really engaging. But if you give him, I mean, how many bad quarterbacks are there in the NFL? The odds are he's going to get a bad game to talk about. He's not going to be nearly as good.
That's a decent point. Decent point.
All right, we got the stat coming up, Rich. What will we talk about?
No matter who the Super Bowl halftime show will be, it'll never be Maroon 5. Where does Massachusetts land on the fattest states list? And let's read some Amazon reviews of the new Jim Gray book, shall we?
As long as you give me a sweet Epiphone tat tickling my abs, I'll be all right with that. That was an Epiphone, right?
Yep, Epiphone, which is like the D level of Gibson.
Hey, it makes the right kind of racket, if you know what I'm saying. Tell that to all the people that jam out to This Love. All right, so we'll be back because you can hear the guitar very clearly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Those songs. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Sounds like Michael Jackson. I mean, and I know you don't like him because he played a mean guy in that Adam Sandler movie, Uncut Gems, right, Fred?
Yep.
Yeah. This is one of those guys that has got like a billion downloads on Spotify. He's got like two songs that are like in the billion, you know, the billion range or whatever. And I don't believe that a ton of people are going to know a bunch of his music. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I know about like four or five of his songs, and
does
I like them a
lot. Instruments?
I don't think he does, and I could be wrong, but his songs are good. I mean, there's one he's got out now with Kenny G that's actually excellent. It's a really good, it's like him featuring Kenny G, and it's legitimately a really good song. So there you go. I, to be honest, with all the stuff going on, I haven't even thought about the Super Bowl and how it's going to be played and when it's going to be, because they're saying it might get moved around if the things, you know, the games get canceled and all that. I just think it's going to be a weird as hell. So
the NFL has it on lock. I don't see anything moving around that much. I don't. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think I am. But and I think they'll have, you know, a crowd, but not much one. And it won't matter because the weekend's playing and we can all just get loose.
Gonna want to waste my time.
Maybe Fred, he'll be joined by your favorite guy, Post Malone.
I hope so. And then I hope, but I just hope someone says, it's weekend time.
Boss time. Okay, let's just talk about the most embarrassing moments of the Super Bowl halftime show. I mean, there's bad and there's good and stuff like that. But, I mean, does it get any worse than a...
Just the orgasmic eye roll that the little guy from The Sopranos did when he came up to Bruce Springsteen.
Stevie Van Zandt.
Yeah. No, Fred, do you understand that a referee came on stage and threw a flag because they were rocking out way too hard?
Yeah.
Actually came on stage, put down the guacamole. And I was just sitting there going, oh, I know people love this guy, but I just don't get it.
Hey, Baseball Writers Association, put down that Jergens.
This one's for you, Peter Abraham.
Put down that guacamole.
Baseball writers, it's, you know what? There's almost a line. It's like a war. You've got the Jets and the Sharks. You either like Springsteen or you like Pearl Jam. That's the Young Bucks. They're the Pearl. That's, you know, the Passons. Yeah. You know, they're on that side.
If you're under like 48, you're a Pearl Jam guy. If you're over 48, you're just shaking your head at the youth.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, this rock and or roll, I don't understand this.
And if you're a political writer over 50, you are jamming to The Who constantly, according to Twitter.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh,
yeah, it
my goodness.
Billy Joel or something like that.
And they're way, and the political writers that are older are way too into Twitter and, like, answering to things. And then they get all excited and start watching, like, Saturday Night Live and... It's something else. It's really, really. It's like insights into. I like the people that I follow, but it's like insights into their psyche that I wish I didn't know. Like Chappelle left the hook in tonight. All right, relax. I know you're excited. Relax. It wasn't funny. I mean, let's go. Let's. Chappelle did what he did. It wasn't anything special. Let's calm down a little bit. I like Dave Chappelle. Don't make me hate him.
Well, speaking of calming down, I think there's some people out there who need to calm down when it comes to our good friend Jim Gray.
And I'm
grateful
to myself, really.
He's grateful to himself. Well, as we know, his book, Talking to Goats, The Moments You Remember and the Stories You Never Heard.
And shouts out to D.A. Out. I'm sorry to interrupt. Shouts out to D.A. again for, I understand that the question was insulting towards us, but it made it funnier.
Oh,
so
it's great.
I love the question to Jim Gray. If you missed it, you can listen to our podcast from yesterday. We played it at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So the book has come out, and listen, I told our listeners, whatever you do, because I've seen how this happens. Sometimes our listeners get fired up and they take things and they run with it. And sometimes it's just not the right thing to do. And I told them, whatever you do, do not leave negative reviews on Amazon. Because, I mean, listen, if you wrote a book, a brand new book, and you know you want people, Fred, how many times have you bought a book because of what the rating was?
More than I've not bought a book because of the rating.
Yep. Yeah. So I am going to the customer reviews of Jim Gray's new book, Talking to Goats, on Amazon. He is now sitting at 2.1 out of 5 stars after 28 reviews have come in.
I've found a lot of them favorable, too, that they helped me out because I'm not buying the book. And they've just been, so I'm not lying. I mean, the reviews have helped solidify that.
All right, so I'll just start reading.
By the way, Ben Volen, because we got a tweet from Breer yesterday. I'm sure he doesn't want me to say that, but like Volen, like went interesting stuff from Jim Gray's book, and then just basically put up the white pages. You're like, okay, yeah, really interesting. Sure. Tom Brady agonized over leaving the, like, what he was going to write to his players. Ooh, wow, what a tidbit! Imagine that. He would painted him in a good light.
Let's read some of the reviews here. The first one is just titled Huge Prick, and it says, why not have a dinner? 1 star.
Yeah, I gave that. That helped me, actually. So I did give them a heads up.
And then, as I said yesterday, this one was up there. We only had like four yesterday, and it has definitely multiplied. Very disappointed. It has nothing to do with goats. Let's read this one. Horrible book from a vindictive man. It says, I got to read this early, and the book is laughable. I just purchased it and sent it to my friends in Washington, D.C. who've always found him egotistical. His interviews aren't deep. He has fluff questions and kisses up to them. There are many people who can't stand him, and this book is the manual to the people who dislike him. Not one star. And then you go down. This one's just titled Macy's. And it says, I know how to read. I know how to write. Why not write a book? One star. This one just says, careless. And this is a real review, I think. It says, second book to be delivered in a larger than needed box without any packing to stabilize item, resulting in a crumpled sleeve. One star.
Oh, okay, my God.
Well,
I mean,
that's interesting.
The sleeve's crumpled. Now it's worth nothing at auction. I mean, that's a first edition Jim Gray book right there. I mean, Christie's is not going to take that. I mean, come on. I mean, that's something that you leave for the kids. Can you imagine that you're upset that the cover is wrinkled on your dumb Jim Gray book? Go to hell.
That's right. I know.
I'm not sure, you know. I don't know.
He doesn't know.
Yeah. Quite an intellect on that guy. Real fast on his feet. What is that? That guy is either way too tough and can't read the room, or is just milquetoast. I mean, he can't really find his sweet spot, can he? All right, go ahead.
All right.
Writing a book is not easy, Dan.
Yeah. By the way, a more talented interviewer could have pulled off that Pete Rose thing. Like, a guy who was likable could have pulled that off, or wouldn't have gotten near the pushback that he did.
We've got a sponsored segment where we talk about what we had for lunch, so I'm sorry. We have to let you go now, okay?
That is my favorite.
I don't think Levitard respects him. I'm going to go out on a huge limb and say that.
The next review is just titled, Sucks. I wrote a book. You have eyes. There's dog food in your shoe. Why not make me eat it? So that's what that was.
That's right.
One star.
Yeah, okay. What? I'm supposed to be afraid of shoes? They're clean.
And then there's one that's titled, Just a Bunch of Mamby-Pamby BS. All of Jim Gray's interviews with Tom Brady and Monday Night Football are lackluster and therefore not really even talking to each other. They just record their parts separate. That's how this book is. Lackluster, one star. Brady's Barnacle wrote a book. This one is titled. As a huge Patriots fan, I've always respected Tom Brady for being without question the greatest quarterback of all time. It's why I cannot understand why he's attached himself to Jim Gray in these lame Westwood One interviews. They are clearly staged. Maybe Oprah can invite him to dinner, but I doubt it. I would rather clean up my bathtub than read this book again. One star. That's not very nice.
Oprah put out her best things of 2020. I don't think Jim Gray's on it.
It's probably not there. One is just titled The Life and Times of a Parasite. It's one star. And here's one that says, I would like to personally thank Jim Gray. Without this book, my evening would have been a disaster. I thought to myself, I have a fire pit. I have firewood, so why not have a fire? Thanks to his shallow and pedantic book, I now have 336 pages of fire starter. One star.
He couldn't get Oprah to put him on the Amazon list. He couldn't get Oprah to do it. All those years ass kissing, and he couldn't get her to pull the trigger on it.
Then there's one that says, not very good. It says, just like the poet laureate of the Red Sox, this book is not very good. not very good. He said, if you're looking for a better sports book, I personally suggest Sarge Sucks by Mark Jamelli and John from Vegas. One star.
I wonder if John from Vegas actually called DA show today.
That might be the case. I know he said that he would not let him sleep. He would call him every single day.
Yeah.
Finally, and my last one here, he says, because not every tale needs redeeming qualities, but quote, I suck on TV, I suck on radio, why not suck in print?
There you go.
One star. So, congratulations. Actually, no, there's a whole other page. Wow.
Well, good. But keep them coming, I guess.
Yep. He's a boring prick is the name of one of them. There you go. So, I mean, it just keeps going. No, do not. Whatever you do, do not leave those reviews on that page. I am not telling you to do that, meanies. So, if you had to guess who the top five fattest states in the nation were, what would you guess?
Texas?
I would have said Texas because Houston is apparently the fattest city in the country. So, Texas, believe it or not, is number 15.
Tennessee, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama.
Oh, dude, you're hitting home runs.
I can do it easily. Tennessee, Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi.
Is Georgia? Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Okay.
Don't confuse me, please. Sorry. Louisiana.
Oh, my God. You haven't missed yet. Keep going. Come on. Keep them coming.
Because Florida's got Miami, so I'm not going to see Florida.
All right, I'll count you down. At number 10, Missouri. You probably wouldn't have gotten that one. At number 9, Oklahoma. At number 8, Alabama. You got that one. Number 7, Louisiana. You got that one. At number 6, South Carolina. Missed that. At number 5, Tennessee. Absolutely. At number 4, Kentucky. Number 3, Arkansas. You got that one as well. Number 2, Mississippi. And you are missing number 1. Probably the one that has the biggest dental problems as well.
Oh, West Virginia.
Yeah, West Virginia. Boom.
Yeah, you always forget about West Virginia being a state because there's really, in all honesty, and it's not even being trite, there's really nothing that you talk about from West Virginia. Yeah, Tennessee's real fat. Like where my parents live, you know how, like Boston's like an exceptionally thin town. It really is.
Matter of fact, Massachusetts is at, it includes D.C. as well, so it's 51. They're number 47. The only states that are better than them, states or districts that are better than them are thinner, or healthier rather. Washington, D.C., Colorado, Hawaii, and Utah.
Yeah, because, well, and for obvious reasons for those places, but the tennis, like this place is crazy. Like the guys here are like in, everyone's thin here. Like, you go to Tennessee, like, where my parents live, because they live, you know, outside of Knoxville. I mean, everyone's fat. Like, fat for real. And it's not, I normally don't even, like, look at people that way. I'm normally in my own head so much that I'm not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. And, but it's really a scene. I mean, it's really something else. People are hugely fat.
If you had to guess what the fattest state in New England is, what would you guess?
Maine.
Yep, Maine.
Yeah.
At number 6, I for some reason wouldn't have thought Maine. I probably would have gone New Hampshire.
There's like 8 people in New Hampshire. No one lives in New Hampshire.
I mean, yeah, sure they do.
Who? Where?
People who commute to Boston.
Near the coast, man.
And don't want to pay taxes.
Been there. Durham, New Hampshire. There.
they want to buy fireworks?
They don't want to pay state tax, so they go to New Hampshire.
Near the border.
Right over the border, yeah. And they commute.
I have no problem with New Hampshire. I just know there's no city there. There's not a city in New Hampshire.
Sure there is.
Portsmouth.
You got Portsmouth.
There's a city.
Portsmouth is Portsmouth bigger than Newton? No way.
Portsmouth's a pretty big town.
I bet you, because Newton's huge geographically. Oh, so it's kind of unfair.
It's an actual like town on the water. Like when you go there, it looks like.
No,
a town.
I've been to Portsmouth. Believe me, it took me one time 2.5 hours to get to Portsmouth. Oh, 3.5 hours to get to Portsmouth because of traffic.
Portsmouth only 2,200 people.
Yeah,
22,000 people. As of 2 years ago.
All right, what's Newton?
A lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
So, yeah, I mean, New Hampshire, if you're pulling out Portsmouth as a city, I mean, New Hampshire has really got nothing. Not that I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad place. I don't have a problem with New Hampshire. I got a problem with Vermont. All right, I got archery today I don't want to go to, and neither does anyone else in my family. Do you just eat the money and not go? That's the decision that needs to be made. Everyone, enjoy yourselves. Hopefully you have a wonderful bar mitzvah. And we will hopefully be back on Monday. That's the plan. Bye!
And I'm grateful to myself, really. Writing a book is not easy, Dan.
Jim, did you just say you were grateful to yourself?
I was.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.